All glories the symbol of our tears. All glories the symbol of our tears. All glories the symbol of our tears. So today we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bandhu Atmatmanas Tasya. Yenatmai Vatmana Jita. Anatmanastu Shatritve. Parte Tatmai Vashatruvat. I'll just read the. Anyone else want to chant it? Chant the verse? Anduratmatmanastasya. Yenatmai Vatmana Jita. Anatmanasya Shatrupe. Vate Tatmana Shatruvat. Vandurapmatmanastasya Yenatmanatita Anatmanastishatupe Vatitatmaivasatuvat Vandu, friend. Atma, the mind. Atmana, of the living entity. Tasya, of him. Yena, by whom. Atma, the mind. Eva, certainly. Atmana, by the living entity. Jita, conquered. Anatmana, of one who has failed to control the mind. Two, but Shatrutve, because of enmity. Varteta, remains. Atmaeva, the very mind. Shatruvat, as an enemy. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, but for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Please repeat. For him who has conquered the mind, the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. Amangana Tamandasya Ganagana Salakaya Chakshuram Vitamvina Tazamai Shri Guru. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and its mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of his superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who has taken to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. So choosing a verse from the Bhagavad Gita is really, it's difficult because there's just so much nectar everywhere. But, you know, the mind, you know, we all have one. We all know how it works, and we all understand how difficult it can be. The whole Bhagavad Gita is based on the idea that Arjuna is in a battlefield, and he can't do it. He feels like he can't fight. So he's just really going through a mental problem. How can I fight all my relatives, you know, my cousins, my teachers? I can't do it. It's not worth it. You know, I'd rather live by begging than to have to kill my relatives like that. So Krishna comes and Krishna gives instruction. And of course, that instruction, it was good for the battlefield, and it's also appropriate for us right now. It is very difficult to control the mind because there's such a constant onslaught. And the Bhagavad Gita also says that there's three gates leading to hell, you know, anger, lust, and greed. And this all originates in the mind, being attached to something and then being frustrated, not being able to get it or have it. And then anger takes over, lust takes over, greed takes over. So this idea of being able to control the mind is so important for Arjuna and for ourselves. Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita, he explains, you know, bhakti yoga is meant because every living entity has a propensity to love someone. You know, we all have that propensity to love. Even the animals have that propensity to love. So he explains that love, just like a ray of light or a sound vibration, that it just goes, and that just like the living entity, when he's first born, he loves his mother and he loves his father. As time goes on, he learns to love his brothers and he loves his sister. Then he may love some extended family. As he gets older, he may learn to love his community. Then maybe his society. He may learn to love his nation. He may learn to love the whole human society. He may even learn to love the human society and the animal society, but still, there's not real satisfaction there until one is able to repose his love at the lotus feet of the Lord. And when we can do that, we can attain real peace. There's a beautiful verse. There's so many beautiful verses. Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Sivridam Sarvabhutanam Yantamam Shantam Richtati, that the sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, and the Supreme Lord of all the demigods and all the planets, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, when they understand that, they attain peace from the pangs of material existence. So we have the modes of material nature, the mode of passion and ignorance, and the mode of even mode of goodness, all pulling at us. And we have the kleshas, adi atmaka, adi bodhik, adi daivik, all attacking in different ways. So it can be very difficult. We can see, that psychiatry is a booming business, and people are turned in all different ways, mindfulness. Although Prabhupada makes the point that when you're just sitting and meditating, that it may stop momentarily from distraction from material activities, but basically it's a waste of time until the mind, Savaimanak Padaravindayo, can repose itself at the lotus feet of the Lord, that the mind is able to always remember Krishna. So that's our business. And of course, a very important part of that business is the association of pure devotees. So when we read Bhagavad Gita, we read Bhagavatam. When I was reading Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada was saying that when you read Nectar Devotion, it's like associating directly with Rupa Goswami. So how beautiful is that? We weren't fortunate enough to live in the time when he lived, but just by reading what he's written in Nectar Devotion and other books, we have that association. So we're learning how to always be able to remember the Supreme Lord in all different ways. Parishanubhava, Prabhupada also uses that word for spiritual satisfaction, that when a hungry man, he's very hungry, but when he gets food and he eats it, then he feels some peace. He finally feels that satisfaction. So for ourselves also, always looking, but when we're performing devotional service, then we have that satisfaction. Bhakti mama abhijanati yavanyas chasme tatvataha tatvomam tatvatonyatva vishite tadanantaram, that by performing devotional service, one is able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he remembers the Supreme Lord with such devotion, then he's able to enter in to the kingdom of God. So that is what we're doing. That's what we're learning. We're actually in the spiritual world. Whenever we're performing devotional service, we're able to contact Krishna. We're actually able to contact so many personalities. And as we serve, then we can actually feel that we're in the spiritual world as we pursue. It also says in the Nectar of Instruction, Vatsha Vegam Manaso Krota Vegam Etan Vegan Yo Vistaheti Dira Sarvam Apimam Pitivim Sushishat, that when one can control the urges of the mind and of the belly and the genitals, that he's qualified to make disciples all over the world. So we're in that process, and we may not be a initiating spiritual master, but certainly every one of us has the opportunity to preach to different people, whether we're out in the forefront, you know, distributing books, or whether we are, you know, we're sharing this with our friends, we're sharing this with our relatives, that we're able to bring people into Krishna consciousness all the time. You know, the obstacles do come up. So in so many instances, we have so many examples in the scriptures of devotees who had incredible obstacles before them. Chichiketu comes to mind, someone who, he was a great king and he was flying his airplane and he looked down and he saw Mother Parvati sitting on Lord Shiva's lap. So he laughed. And Lord Shiva thought nothing of it, you know, but Parvati became very offended that he laughed. So she cursed him to become a demon. So Chichiketu was pretty surprised. And Prabhupada said that he even had enough shakti to be able to counteract it, but he didn't. He decided he would just let it be, and he would accept the curse. And ultimately, he was a pure devotee, even though he was in the body of a demon, and he was able to chant lotus feet of the Lord. Also, we see with Maharaj Prakrit, there's so many lessons to learn. Like with Maharaj Prakrit, he's the king of the world, and he's traveling all over the earth planet, and he comes to a hermitage, and he sees the yogi sitting there, and he's waiting for some kind of social interaction, maybe offering him water, offering him a garland. But instead, the yogi's in such deep trance that he doesn't respond at all. So Maharaj Prakrit, even though he's a great devotee, as part of the pastime, he becomes offended, he becomes angry, and he takes a dead snake, and he garlands the yogi with the dead snake. And when the yogi's son comes home, Sringi, he's furious, and he curses Maharaj Prakrit. "Why, you've done this to my father. You know, he's such a great yogi, and you've offended him. I curse you to be bitten by a snake bird and die within a week." So again, very heavy curse. And Maharaj Prakrit, he had the potency to be able to reverse that curse, but he didn't. Again, he saw it as the will of the Lord. And so he just accepted it, sat down, hearing Bhagavatam and perfecting his life. So these are the examples that we have. Actually, another amazing verse, Tateno Kampam Shikshamik Shamana, that one who, go ahead, you can finish. Kutam Vipakam Hridvad Vipurba Namaste Dichiraya. So one who, despite all the obstacles, he continues to offer his obeisance with his heart and his mind and his body to the Supreme Lord. It says that the spiritual world is his rightful claim. So, you know, that you're able to continue on with your service. I mean, I know in my life, I've experienced so many difficulties. And Prabhupada says, it's really interesting, because a lot of times when people become devotees, they think, oh, life is going to be perfect now, you know, because I'm a devotee. I'm a devotee of Krishna. Krishna's the Supreme Personality. So things are just going to go smoothly from now on. I know I certainly felt like that, and maybe many of you also felt like that too. But Prabhupada reminds us, he says, look at the lives of the Pandavas, you know, Queen Kunti. Look at all the obstacles. So it doesn't mean that because we're a devotee, the obstacles aren't going to put in our path. Actually, those obstacles are put in our path many times for the glory of the devotee. You know, that's one of the reasons that Krishna does that. And to see how serious we are, because getting into the spiritual world is no easy matter. You can just imagine all the security it entails for someone to get into the White House. It's very difficult to get in. Very few people get that opportunity. And that's just something totally mundane. What to speak to get into the spiritual world. So Krishna's always testing us. It's also very interesting in that purport of Tat Te Nukampam that Srila Prabhupada says that for a devotee, it's not karma. It's not a reaction to a karmic activity. He said to a surrendered devotee, it's not a reaction. What it is, he said, that Krishna gives a punishment that resembles sinful activity just to be able to kind of erase or burn out some of the attachments we may still have to this material world. So when these tests are coming upon us, we can remember that Krishna, he's our friend, he's Suhidam, he's our best friend. And everything he's doing is for our benefit to come closer, even something that may be tragic in so many ways. You know, you look at the battlefield Kurukshetra, you look at Draupadi, who lost, you know, her five sons, and how tragic that was. But, you know, none of those devotees lost faith in Krishna, none of them blame Krishna. Prabhupada makes the point that people often blame the Supreme Person of Godhead when something terrible happens. They don't thank him so much when everything's going nicely, but they do like to blame him when things are going poorly. But of course, we don't know what it looks like on the other side. For example, with Ganga, and she had these children, and one by one, she was putting them in the river and drowning them. It was part of the condition of her marrying her husband, that if he questioned her, you know, this is one of the things that would happen. So each one she drowns, each one she drowns. And you're thinking, wow, this is terrible, this is tragic. But actually, they were great demigods, you know, in the heavenly planets. And so they, as they drowned, they were able to go back to where they really belonged, you know, more of a constitutional position. Not the constitutional position, but, you know, a more exalted position. So, you know, even when someone passes away, as tragic as that is for us, you don't know really what it is for that other person. So it's important for us to be able to study the lives of all these different people and try to, you know, you think of like, okay, anger, lust, and greed being the three gates leading to hell, and how the prisons and the jails are full of people who couldn't control their anger. So many broken homes and broken relationships due to not being able to control anger. You know, just in our own scripture, we have, you know, Manvantar, due to her envy, she provoked Kaikeyi into, you know, rejecting Ram as the king. And, you know, the example of Hiranyakashipu with his anger and just, you know, trying to destroy his own son. So anger is such a prominent emotion that when we feel it coming up, we have to think, you know, what can we do? I remember so clearly, because I taught in this community for 27 years. I taught my students and their children and sometimes their children. So one day there was a boy in my class, actually it was Raghu. Many of you may know Raghu. And his father had gone to Costa Rica and he was supposed to come back, but he was delayed for like a couple weeks. So he was so upset. He was so angry. You know, I was like, Raghu, what's wrong? So he told me what was wrong. I said, okay, we're going to chant japa now. We're going to chant japa. I want you to really concentrate on the chanting, and then I want you to tell me how you feel after. So we chanted together, you know, maybe a whole round. I said, so Raghu, how do you feel now? He said, it worked. It worked. So, you know, these different things that we can do when we're faced with anger, when we're faced with lust, you know. We see how Ravana, his whole community was destroyed because of his lust for Sita. And also greed, you know, greed, like Duryodhan and the Kauravas, they were so greedy to have more than their allotment. You know, Ishavasyam, Idam Sarvam, Yakincha, Jagatnam Jagat, that everything animate or inanimate is only controlled by the Lord. Knowing this, one should accept only those things necessary for himself and not accept things that don't belong to him. So if everyone did that in this world, only took what they needed, can you imagine? Everybody would have enough. Because there's enough on the earth. There's enough food for everybody. There's enough water for everyone. And Krishna can arrange it all. So again, getting back to this idea that the peace formula, that understanding that Krishna, he can arrange everything perfectly. So we're so fortunate to be able to have taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada, who is leading us back home, back to Godhead, you know, step by step. And that by taking shelter of him, by reading his books, by chanting his name, by associating, there's another beautiful verse in Nectar of Instruction. Utsahan Shat Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat Sangha Sangha Shiovatek Sadvir Bhaktir Prasidyati. So the ways that we can enhance our devotional service by enthusiasm, by patience. So, you know, the enthusiasm, we may not always have it. Just like going to Mangalartik, let's say in the morning, you know, you get up, it's freezing cold, especially here. Sometimes it'll be like, you know, 28 degrees, and the doors are open because of COVID. So as warm as you dress, it still feels like the wind kind of is like going through you. But it's so ecstatic, you know, to be here in front of the deities. Or even to be at home and have it on your screen and to be looking at it. But one of the, Prabhupada always emphasized the idea of rising early. So that's one way to conquer the mind, is to get up early, start chanting early, start serving early. Also patience, Prabhupada gives that as an example of devotional service, is to be able to, you know, it's not like you're gonna get pure love of God, you know, in a month. You know, and when you first join the movement, you kind of feel like, because you get so much mercy when you first join. I've always heard that Radharani, she looks down upon us, and she says, Krishna, look, you know, Bhaktin Harold, look at the service he's doing, please accept him. So just by Radharani's glance, we get so much mercy, and we feel like we're very close going back home, back to Godhead, that it won't be long at all. But then as time goes on, sometimes it seems like, wow, you may not feel like you're making a lot of advancement. So that idea of patience, and also probably gives the example, you get in an airplane, and you may go in from here to Delhi, and you're just on the airplane. You're reading, you're eating, and it doesn't really feel like you're getting anywhere, but all of a sudden, there you are in Delhi. So for ourselves, it's like that too. We're chanting every day, we're serving every day, we're eating prasadam. Prabhupada says that hearing about Krishna, that's the medicine for the mad mind. And he said, eating foodstuffs offered to Krishna, that's also medicine for the patient. So we're taking those medicines every day. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs, he describes that one day when he was taking Charanamrita from the deities, that his whole home turned into Goloka Vrindavan. So that is always an option for us. We don't know exactly when that'll happen, but we do know that as we hear about Krishna day after day, that our taste for material activities wanes and that our love for Krishna grows. So as we follow these principles, these devotional principles, as we give up the association of non-devotees, which just doesn't mean, it doesn't just mean people, you know, giving up the association of people, it also means giving up the association of, you know, maybe some movies may be inspirational, but some of them may really bring our consciousness down. And they may incite our lust, they may incite our greed, they may incite our anger. I remember once, probably it was 1984, going to India. And as we were going past this big slum in Calcutta, I don't know if it was Calcutta or Delhi, I just don't remember. But I saw something very different than I'd seen in 1976. And what it was aerials coming up from some of the slums. And I thought, oh my God. If this isn't a recipe for disaster, like previously, you may have a simple little hut, you have your deity, and you feed your deity whatever you might have, and you can feel satisfied. But if you're watching TV and you're watching advertisements, that's going to cause you to be greedy. You know, there's something else that you want that you don't really need, but that's what advertisements are meant to do. They're meant to bring up those kinds of feelings of lust and greed. So, you know, we try to associate with devotees, follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, and follow the processes of devotional service by hearing, by chanting, by remembering, by serving, becoming the Lord's best friend, all those different ways we have of serving Krishna and serving his devotees. Even in very difficult situations, like we heard the story of Sachisuta. Actually, Sachisuta, I had a boy in my class, his name was Sachisuta, and he was a son of a devotee who had been in prison in Russia. So he couldn't decide what to write about. Every year I have my students write, in Gurukula I have them write a book, something devotional, you know, it could be paraphrasing a story, a personal story. They're amazing, amazing books. I've saved many of them. I always have this idea that someday I'd like to put together an anthology of these books that they wrote because they're just amazing. So anyway, this boy, he couldn't figure out what to write. He goes, I don't know what to write. I don't know. I said, wasn't your father in prison? He's like, yeah. I said, why don't you write about that, about the whole story? So he ended up doing a book. And that book ended up becoming Salted Bread. Some of you may have seen that book. But Sachisuta was a devotee, and before he was a devotee, he would go around to different churches and try to fix them up, abandoned churches. And then he met the devotees, and he started associating with the devotees and helping them, you know, get places where they could do kirtan. And when the authorities would come in and break them up, he would just start over again, you know? He was so committed to being a devotee. So at one point, he was arrested, and he was put in. They told him, if you renounce, all he would have had to say is, I don't believe in Prabhupada, and I don't believe in Krishna, and he would have been let go. But he refused to do that, because he knew if he did that, then they would advertise that, you know? He renounced it, so he wouldn't do it. So he went to prison. And he suffered very much. He was tortured in prison. And his roommate, who wasn't a devotee, actually many, many years later, he saw devotees on kirtan. He came up and he said, oh, Sachisuta, I knew Sachisuta, I knew Sachisuta. So he told this story of what happened to Sachisuta. So he was very sick. He had tuberculosis. And one day, he took his bed sheet and he made it into a dhoti. He took some toothpaste and he put tilak on his face. He cut out pieces of colored advertisements in a magazine. He made them into flowers and he made a garland for Krishna. And then he put the garland on him and he sat down and started chanting. And then his roommate went away for some time and he came back. He said, Sachisuta, Sachisuta, what are you doing? And Sachisuta didn't answer. He said, Sachisuta, you look so strange. What's going on? And then he got up close and he realized that Sachisuta was gone. He left, just like a perfect yogi. Just sat down, chanted, and just left this world. So the mind, you know, a controlled mind can actually tolerate any situation, you know, as difficult as it may be, just by remembering Krishna. We know the story of the Brahmana and the sweet rice, and the Brahmana, you know, he was very poor, he wasn't able to, you know, he didn't have what he needed to make sweet rice, but he made it in his mind. And he was so absorbed in it that when he went to touch the sweet rice to see if it cooled down, he went, he burned his finger. That's the power of the mind and the power of devotion. And when Krishna saw that, he immediately came down and took him back on an airplane. So there's no hindrance to performing devotional service. No matter where we are, whatever situation we're in, we can perform devotional service and we can make advancement, and we can love Krishna. Another story I love, Vishnu Jan once was traveling Sankirtan party all around the U.S., and there were some spots that were very, very difficult to distribute books in, especially in the South. So they were someplace south of West Virginia. They were on their way to New Vrindavan for Jamastami, and they got arrested. I got arrested once too, and that was in Alabama, distributing magazines with Krishna on the front. We got arrested. It was Tamahar, me, and Murnalini. And we were in there overnight. Anyway, that's another story. So they were arrested. They were put in jail. And they were so upset because, you know, it was they wanted to be there for Jamastami in New Vrindavan. And they couldn't be there. So what they did is they decided they would have a Jamastami in jail. So they got their bowl of flour and they got some water. And some of them started making the dough, making the balls. Some of them got a rolling pin, started rolling out the puris, putting them in the ghee, taking them out. Others, you know, got flowers and started stringing the flowers. In the meantime, the jail keepers are like, what is going on here? You know, they were like completely freaked out, like, what's happening? And so finally, they were so freaked out that they opened the door. They said, get out, and if you ever come back here again, we're going to put you in here forever, you know? So they got out. I mean, the stories don't always end that way, but, you know, again, Krishna is there for his devotee through everything. And we look at Prahlad and, you know, everything that Prahlad had to go through. And, of course, even though Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad in so many ways, Prahlad said to Lord Nisringadev, I want to ask for a benediction. And Lord Nisringadev is like, well, gosh, I've done everything for you. Like, what else do you want, you know? And Prahlad said, well, I don't want anything for myself, but I'm just worried about all the fools and rascals out there, and I want them also to be liberated. And he wanted his father to be liberated. So that's our heritage, you know? That's our heritage, that we're not satisfied with some personal advancement. We know that comes automatically. And it's so beautiful because, you know, again, part of the Boknam Yoga Tapasam verse, it says, all austerities and all penances, he's the goal. So, you know, people may be working so hard and, you know, austerities, making so much money, you know, living in palaces, And having, you know, the best Lamborghinis and whatever, beautiful cars and all of that, but it's not worth anything, you know, because it's not, you're not offering it to Krishna. So even the yogi who is forming the very, you know, austerities, like sitting out in the snow and the cold, and, you know, some of the yogis may actually be meditating on Krishna in the heart, and that's a different story, but just impersonal yoga that is not going to bring you to where you want to go. So if we just remember that everything we do, you know, yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, jajahosi, didasa yat, that whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, you know, that we do it for Krishna. And that will bring us to the desired goal. Let's see if I have anything else. Yeah, Jayananda, when Jayananda was in the hospital, devotees went to see him, right? So he's in the hospital. When they go in to see him, he's lying on the floor. They're like, Jayananda, why are you lying on the floor? You know, why don't you get in your hospital bed? But then they looked in the hospital bed, and there was a picture of Prabhupada there. And Jayananda said, I have nothing to offer Krishna. So all I have is my bed. So I offered him my bed. So, I mean, this is pure devotional service, you know. We all have our own way and our own, you know, ability to give. But as we grow in devotional service, Krishna will speak through the heart. And as we become purified, you know, by chanting and serving and remembering, we'll be able to make advancement, and we'll be able to help others make advancement too. So I think I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments, any additions, any questions. Now's the time. Nartaki actually had a Prabhupada story. Nartaki, you want to tell that story?
I was reading in the Prabhupada letter books, there's five volumes, and Rupanuga's son in 1970 and 72, like that, he got a few letters from Prabhupada. One of them was addressed to all the Gurukul kids. His name is Akendra. So Akendra, Dwarkadish, who actually, we just spoke with Dwarkadish a couple weeks ago, Pushkar and I, because it was his birthday. He took Diksha from Prabhupada. You know, he was really young. So anyway, Akendra wrote a letter to Prabhupada, and he must have been, I think we figured 9 years old, you know. So he said, Prabhupada, we're learning arithmetic in Gurukula, you know. So Prabhupada wrote him back, and he said, oh, you're learning arithmetic. This is very good. 5 + 5 = 10. 2 + 2 = 4. And Krishna plus anything equals Vrindavan. So Prabhupada said, just remember Krishna and you'll always be in Vrindavan.
Jai. Thank you so much. Okay. You mean when there's obstacles in our path?
I mean,
it depends how far you can go, I guess. It's like, you know, sometimes you complain or sometimes you seek counsel from someone, right?
No,
sometimes you can, you might complain and say, this is hard, this is so difficult, I don't know if I can handle this, but you stay on the path, you know? I mean, we're human, right? We're fallible, so that may be part of the process. We may...
To stay in the path, if you need to do whatever you need to do, do it, but stay in the path.
Right, in other words, we chant our rounds, we try to rise early, associate with devotees, you know, we offer our minds in confidence, accept confidences. When we're in difficult situations, we can kind of become stronger by serving devotees, by chanting more, by, you know, like that. You kind of...
I was also thinking that you gave those examples in Kolichi, Vitrasura, Chitra. So, if I knew what's coming in my future, it would be easy to cover. So King Parikshit, he knew at that moment he didn't think, but later on he realized that when he was born, Bhagavatam will reveal he'll get cursed, it's already written. So should we do our astrological test to find out what's going to happen in our life and then tolerate, or don't worry about it?
If you can find a pure devotee astrologer, maybe. That may be difficult, but probably best to like just follow Prabhupada's instructions and know that's the thing. It's like, you know, if someone's going to Los Angeles and they don't know how to get there and they're just going all over the place, you know, who knows how long it'll take to get there. But if they have their GPS or a map and it gives the directions, then you can get there fairly easily. So we've got the map, you know, we've got the GPS. You know, we know how to get there. All we have to do is follow it. So I've always heard that the step for becoming a non-devotee to a devotee is the biggest step. The step from becoming a devotee to a pure devotee isn't as difficult as that first step we've already taken. So, you know, we're on our way, we're on the airplane, and, you know, one day, like Bhagna Thakur, in bits and pieces, it's already happening. You know, as we look at the deities and... Yeah, you see how much love and devotion goes into everything, you know? So we just try to give our love to Krishna. He reciprocates, we give more. And it's just an ecstatic process for that reason. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class.
Thank you.
I just thought it was interesting that in the verse it says that we have to conquer the mind to make it our greatest friend.
Yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting way to make a friend, is conquer it.
Well, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said you had to beat the mind in the morning with a shoe, and then 50 times, and then at night also 50 times. So the mind, you know, it's hankering, it's lamenting, sometimes it's, you can just see it's all over the place. And you just, what is it? Yato nischalati. Wherever the mind wanders, you bring it back under the control of the self. So that's the beauty. You know, we can objectively look at ourselves and see that we're kind of, you know, going off. And that's when the Council of you know, Devotee Association also comes in really handy, because you can say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, and they'll say, well, really, you know. I remember one time in Vrindavan, I was in a very difficult situation, and I said to one devotee how I was really angry at Krishna, you know. I was just furious, you know, how could this happen? How could you do this? And he said to me, a devotee never gets angry at Krishna. And as soon as he said that, it just kind of dissipated, you know. Okay, I'm a devotee. A devotee never gets angry at Krishna. Okay, I can't be angry. All right, I'm not angry anymore. But that association was helpful, you know, the fact sometimes we just keep it all inside and let it, you know, boil. It's worse than just, like, you know, explaining to somebody how you feel and having them help you come to terms with it. Because the material world is a rough place, and it seems like it's getting rougher and harder in so many ways, but at the same time, many people are going to be needing spiritual shelter, too. So in that way, it can be better.
Mm-hmm. It's like, because devotees, it appears that they're getting karma, you know, and things are happening. But like you said earlier, that's just getting rid of so many attachments and dirt that's in the heart that we've been packing in there for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So it's such a minute, and Krishna uses that in such a way. He's so expert at it. So he knows
he's
exactly
pretty expert
how to get that dirt out of that corner. You know, so it's not really karma, like someone else is getting karma.
That's right.
It's Krishna's arrangement for the devotee to purify the devotee so they can go back to their eternal.
Yeah, I love the word choice that Prabhupada used, resembles punishment. You know what I mean? Or resembles sinful reaction. He said resembles sinful reaction, but actually, it's a punishment that's kind of prescribed. Also, something else that Prabhupada said that was really far out. He said, just like in the hospital, there's different rooms, you know, for every patient. And every patient has a prescription for a certain kind of medicine. So if you're in room 10, you don't say, I want the medicine that he has in 9, because that's not going to help you get better. He said, so just like that, we have to be satisfied with what we have. Our situation. We may think, well, I wish I had more money. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. But Krishna's giving us what we need to become closer to him. Just like somebody like Sudama Brahmana, you know, or Kolavesha Sridhar. Kolavesha Sridhar, he made this Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He made cups out of banana leaves and hardly made any money from it, but he gave 50% toward worship of the Ganges and 50% for his maintenance. And he worshipped Lord Chaitanya. So one day Lord Chaitanya came and said, Kolavecha, ask me for a benediction, anything, because I don't want anything. He said, what? Look at your house. You know, it's like it's falling apart. You got holes in the roof. The rain's coming in. He, you know what he said? He said, it's better than a bird nest. And Lord, he goes, the bird nest doesn't have any roof. I've got somewhat of a roof. He goes, the benediction I want is to always remember you. You know, and that's the benediction that Sudama wanted. I mean, we may have some material desires, and it does say a kamasava kamava moksha kamudara dikti braina bhakti yogena jeta putasham param, that you know, whatever you want. You want something material, you want something spiritual, you want emerges. You can ask Krishna. You can ask Krishna for it. You know what I mean? You should always go to Krishna rather than to a demigod or anybody else, but it may slow things down. It may slow things down a bit because Krishna, you know, say you want something and you just want it, you want it, you want it, just like a little kid, you know? You know, you just want it, want it, want it, but you're going to get sick if you eat it. No, I want it, I want it, I want it. So you give it to me, eat it, you get sick. You know, so Krishna's like that. If we insist, he may give it to us, but if we can just understand that he's giving us exactly what we need, then that's all the better. Easier said than done, for sure. Okay, thank you so much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutare Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jiti Namah. Kṛṣṇāya bhūtale śrīmate bhakti vedānta swāmī namaste saraswati deve gauravāṇī prasārine nirviśeṣa śūnyavādī asya tare satāne